Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. Have called me to this passage, and I'll follow, though I'm worn. May this journey bring a blessing. May I
Radio with Dr. Rhoda Zion Alali.
I'm telling you, I'm so excited about what's going on in the world of solar, and we're so happy to be a part of what's happening with the evolution of solar in our great country. You're talking to Dr. Rhoda Zion Alali. I'm your host this evening, and I want to take the time to do a special shout-out and thanks to our engineer, Mr. Jonathan Nathan on the spot Hill, Pastor Hill, who is a keeper of the land in South Carolina, a respected farmer down there who's testing our technology with his crops. And it's just phenomenal. Every time I talk to him and he tells me something new, I get excited. I want to just kind of make a footnote to that. Pastor Hill has been sponsoring this radio show for going on 3 years in August. And as a result of his labor of love for us, he's allowed us to reach the nations. He's allowed us to reach across Canada. He's allowed the copies of these shows to be sent as far as Tanzania, Africa, to Iceland, to France. People are sending these radio shows around the nation. And as a result, this show is responsible for saving the lives of three youths that had a severe, terrible seizure disorder. They had over 600 seizures a day. And as a result of somebody sharing this an MP3 from this radio show, the families were able to reach out to them, to us rather, and we were able to get them technology. In fact, we have retrofitted most of their homes with technology that's been life-sustaining and life-saving for these families. And so Tuesday Health Talk Radio is now becoming a voice that people are turning to because they understand that I'm not just another person out here in the highways and byways compelling people to get your home checked, mitigate your house. Your house could be making you sick. But I'm a warrior angel. I have a special anointing from God. And I used to kind of keep it tucked under my wing. But I don't mind giving him all the glory for the wisdom and the guidance that he's given to me to be out here day in, day out, making healthier homes, teaching and educating people how they can make their homes safer. And I've met so many beautiful people from all walks of life. And I have been so blessed that so many of you have taken my training. So many of you are listening in with your Healthy Smart Homes tonight. And so many of you are sharing your testimonies with me so that I can share them with the world. Tonight, the world is still floating high on the love story, the marriage of Prince Harry and Princess Meghan Markle. You know, all these years, we've heard about the royal family and we've heard about their first name, but I just realized something. Do they even have a last name? Because I don't recall ever hearing that Prince Charles had a last name. It was always Prince Charles of Windsor and Prince Harry and Prince Philip of Windsor. So that's the homework assignment for everyone. What is the last name of the royal family? Because even in the news, you see Prince Harry and Miss Meghan Markle. You don't see a last name stated. But I got up early Saturday. Everybody was calling me, "Get up, Doc, so we can watch this wedding." I'm like, "Isn't the wedding going to be replayed all day long?" And they said, "Yeah, but, you know, you need to watch it in real time so you can be the first to see it." So I'm going to confess, I didn't climb out of bed at 4 o'clock. But I did get up out of bed at 8 o'clock to begin to watch the ceremony, the procession that was already in works, and pick up the storylines as CNN and NBC and ABC, everybody, the whole world was talking about this wedding that took place. And there's been some conflicting reports. Some say it's St. John's Chapel. Other people say it's St. George's Chapel. But for sure, it took place in the village of Windsor with over 100,000 people in attendance and billions of people watching from around the world. And I want to deviate from talking about healthy smart homes just for a second to look at this love story, because the very existence of the gentleness of love . This is the second question for your homework assignment. First is, what is Prince Harry's last name? The second homework assignment is to look up the word gentleness. You will be blown away. Of course, the word has in its origin, in its definition. It means to lift a person from commonality to nobility. I'm going to say that again. To be gentle with someone means to lift a person from commonality to nobility. I'm going to say that one more time. To be gentle with a person. To set forth your action, your demeanor in gentleness means to dignify somebody's life, to lift them from commonality to nobility. And you really see this thing played out in a conversation between David and God. I believe it's Psalm 103. Don't put me to that. Don't charge me to that. Go to Google and say, Google, where is it in the Bible that says, David says to God, it is your gentleness that has made me great. In the love story of Prince Harry and Princess Meghan now, you see gentleness played out in such a way that through the skilled craftsmanship of language, Prince Harry, let me back it up before we even talk about him. You had a young woman looking for somebody who was kind and gentle, a man who could honor and respect her, who wanted the responsibility to love her, and nurture her life. And so someone said, I have a blind date for you. She didn't ask if he was cute. She didn't ask if he was rich. She didn't ask how many cars he had. She wanted to know if he was kind, if he was gentle. Because if he was not kind, if he was not gentle, if he was not respectful, she didn't even want to meet him. And she didn't even know who these people were talking about. She did not know that the person that they wanted to introduce her to was a crown prince and one of the most favored, celebrated monarchies in the world. She said, if he is kind, if he is gentle, then I want to meet him. And I don't know that Harry even asked the questions, well, what is she like? They just said, we have somebody beautiful and charismatic for you to meet. They said, they put those two combinations together. beautiful, charismatic. She's real. She's a real person. Yes, she's had all of these issues in her life. I don't even know they told her that, told him that she was biracial. And she had a lot of drama in all of that. People trying to, could you imagine this? Tell her she was inferior. She didn't deserve to be loved for her ethnicity and the color of her skin. For the fact that her mom was an African-American woman that wanted her heritage and her legacy, and she boldly wore her dreadlocks. He said, I just want to meet someone who is a person who has character and compassion. He said when he walked into the room and looked upon her and saw her beauty, he brought forth his best game to engage her. And obviously the brothers got chivalry, because it didn't take him a day, a week, a month to ensnare her. It took him a matter of minutes and a matter of seconds and a matter of an hour. And she knew she wanted to spend the rest of her life with him. If I was really looking at a subject matter to be talking about today, I think I would have to really say this show tonight is about the power of gentleness to transform the energy in your house and in your relationships, and in leaving it as a legacy, giving it as a legacy to your children and your grandchildren. We've become a culture of such violence and social decadence. We'd rather curse one another than bless one another. We spend our time having so much to say, finding each other inferior in life. Imagine the world wanted Prince Harry to hate Princess Meghan because she was biracial. Somehow they deemed that inferior. She was inferior and should not have been regarded a suitor for his liking or for him to even think about marrying. Ladies and gentlemen, strap yourself in your seat, get your seatbelt on. I got some real news to share with you tonight. We all are from one race and one creed. We all have the same color blood, red. It is a scientific fact archived in the world of archaeology that the primitive man, the first sighting of a human in the earth was east of the Nile River that crosses 11 countries on the continent of Africa. We are all African. That is a scientific fact. All races and creeds of in life came out of the African person. We're all African. We're different shades of Africa. If we had not had migration and immigration, we all would still be in Africa. That is a scientific fact. This is a godly fact. Now, I know this might upset some people, especially those people that think the evolution came from apes, that you came out of an ape. Some people are still acting like apes, and maybe that's because they believe that. But the God theory is that he created life, formed man in dirt of the earth. That's a science that can be proved scientifically, that man is of the earth. This planet Earth, I just spent a day with a planetarian, a school teacher who's writing a book about the interplanetarian connection, relationship of Jupiter, Mars, Venus, Earth, and so forth and so on. And when he told me about the organic properties of Earth, I said, that sounds like the human body to me. Because Earth is highly mineralized, full of water, water everywhere, water. And one of the two of the problems in the Earth that destabilizes the Earth that gives rise to climate change is because our water is being destructured from all the electromagnetic radiation and chemicals and all the stuff people are dumping in our water. And that's causing the demineralization of our earth so that when we plant foods and crops in the earth, they can't pull forth from the earth the riches of minerals. The New York Times published an article about restaurants in Japan where the entrees start at $110 and they're served with 2 tablespoons of dirt. And the chef said, because by the time we get it from the market and it's been irradiated and we process through, you have fiber, but you don't have any minerals. You don't have anything to sustain you. And that's one of the underlying causes of morbid obesity. Everybody, you're just hungry all the time. You've eaten all this fiber and processed food that your body can't digest, so it stores because it needs minerals. It wants minerals. It's begging you for vitamins and minerals that are not in the food we eat. Therefore, we're overeating because the body is like, oh, I know you just gave me a steak, a potato, a salad, but it didn't have no minerals in it. I want some minerals. Keep eating. And so we see this backdrop at this wedding of Harry, Prince Harry and Princess Meghan, and the unthinkable brought them together. A woman who didn't want diamonds and furs and bank accounts. She didn't want a sugar daddy. She just wanted a daddy to love. She just wanted a man to honor her, to respect her. And the storyline played out at that wedding. Her simplicity in her gown that beautifully cloaked her. His disposition to protect her and honor her, shield her, provide for her, restore her. He said, I'm not coming to this altar just any kind of way. I'm coming in my uniform as a commander of the Royal Army of the nation of England. That's where every man should come to the altar. He should position for war and come as the commander and make declaration to the world, this woman, I will love, protect, defend for the rest of my life. Princess Meghan Markle was like a modern-day Esther. Being African-American, watching the tabloids, black men shot down in the street like animals, black babies begging for death at 5 years old because their life had been so traumatized in the first 5 years. Black divorces almost at an 80 percentile, mental illness, violence, and rage plague our culture. social decadence and disrespect and foul treating. You can't even go to BET television and see anything that looks like the way Barack Obama loved and courted Michelle Obama like she was a queen. He didn't ask her to be no hoochie mama showing everything everywhere. Her finesse, her ladylike, her modesty ignited his passion. He wanted to see, you know, Barack Obama is a bad brother. And this is what got me. He wanted to see if the simple things of life would ignite Michelle Obama. And so on his first date, he didn't ensnare her with how many cars she could buy her, how many furs, how many jets. Like, you know, I did the home of a mansion for a supermodel that's been on the cover of Elle magazine. And I was a guest in her home. And I was amazed at the stories that she told about men and the phone calls she had. She said to me, I'm going to hook this one because I want him to buy me a Ferrari. And he can buy me a Ferrari and a condo in Malibu. And I'm going to work him. And the texting, the sex texting that went on between them. I was like, may the Lord God have mercy upon men. I had no idea that women were gold digging at the magnitude that this sister was working this brother. And here Barack Obama had the audacity to take Michelle Obama to an ice cream shop and woo her with an ice cream cone. You got skills, brother, when you can open the heart and make a woman love you with just a gesture of an ice cream cone. He had some poise in there. He had some gentleness. He had some attentiveness. The way he held her hand, walked her to the ice cream shop, the way he sat down and had a civil conversation. And it wasn't about how fast we can go to bed and how I can get all over you and how I can use you for the night and leave you. It was about, who are you? And what makes your world go around? And here you see Prince Harry engaging his bride as if she was a human being, as if she was a sacred human being, as if she was special, as if she deserved the highest love, as if she deserved the highest adoration, as if she deserved to be protected. And, you know, you see the storylines, the newspapers, the magazines, everybody is trying to tell her story. I find that those stories, many of them are true, but they don't tell the whole story. I can only imagine some of the storylines being a biracial child born of the second union of your father. In the first union, he married a white woman, so you have half-siblings that are of a total different race and creed and culture. And they want to hate you because they perceive that you have their father and they do not. And all of the criticism, I mean, her half-sister had no respect or for herself or for her family. She wanted to position herself to bring rage and ill regard to the engagement of her sister to the prince. Published a book called Princess Pushy. Because she had the expectation that Meghan was just supposed to sit down and let her talk about her, castrate her, demoralize her. Meghan Markle, Princess Meghan, is some kind of woman in the earth. Despite all the push down and push back and turn around, despite all of the no's, because we don't like the way you look, we don't like the way you live, we don't like who your mama is, besides all of that, she said, I am born of God. I am because God is everything that I am. God made. This is a big revelation, everybody. Strap in, because this is real truth right here. If you are breathing, you are made by God. If you are breathing, you have the crown of heaven. The intent for your birth is that you would be crowned. In fact, we are all kings and queens. We are all priests and ministers of the Most High God. And Meghan Markle, despite all the fragments in her life, said, I will hold on to my dignity because I am created by God. I will love myself. I will choose the best life experience for me. I will accept the love of this man who wants to honor me, protect me, respect me. And just a sidebar on that is, if I had a man take me to the wild of South Africa and pitch a tent and put me under the stars with all that wild game, and he set up an entourage to protect me out underneath the stars, I think I'd marry him too. Prince Harry is somebody special to the world, and I just love him. I've never met him, but I look forward. I've done put him on my bucket list. One day, I want to meet him and shake his hand, because I prayed for him all my life. I could not remove myself from the TV when his mom died and they had her funeral. And I promised her then, I'm going to pray for your children in the earth, Princess Diana. And I've watched them. I've watched their lives. I've interrupted my shopping schedule at Walmart to get me a magazine and just flip through it, see how he's doing, checking in on him, praying for him. Because I lost my father at 12 years old, and it was devastating for me. I can't imagine losing my mama at 7. We knew it was going to be some difficult days for him. And he found a woman that didn't care that he had suffered for almost 20 years with depression. Was his battle. He couldn't keep himself lifted. He couldn't find anybody that could love that part of him. Everybody can love you. Where you were at your grandstand, where you're your best and you're productive and you're got it going on. But to find a lover that can say, where are you hurting? Where are you most ugly? Where are you afraid? Where is it that you're unsure about yourself and why you're here? That's where my love for you will begin. Whew, he found that in Meghan Markle. Princess Meghan. Well, she had been suffering. She had to fight all these demons and wanted to tell her, you are not. You cannot be. You will not be. The nerve of you to defy the laws of racism, to lift yourself to be an actress, an American actress. You couldn't find what you needed in America. She went to Canada. You know, the Canadians, I love my Canadian family because they have loved me up. They have loved me through. When folks try to campaign negative things and say negative things, because they were saying the nerve of you to create a nanotechnology, the nerve of you to care for people, the nerve of you to think you're going to do and be anything in the world, the nerve of you to think you're going to help somebody, the nerve of you to think that through your hands God is going to bring healing to the communities, to children and mothers, the nerve of you to think you're going to care for all races under the earth, the nerve of you. People said all over the world, the nerve of her to think she's going to marry Prince Harry because they have seen him as white royalty. And he searched and searched the earth. He couldn't find a love that had the strength to carry him where he was broken. He couldn't find the love engage him where he was hurting. And I know under the stars of Africa, I wasn't there, but I can hear his prayer. There was a conversation that he had with God that everybody that's broken and cannot find death. He was looking for death, he said, in drugs and alcohol and wayward living. He was looking for something to annihilate that pain that was so deep inside of him, the pain of abandonment, rejection, when your mommy is taken away from you in that critical window of 0 to 7. You don't get, you're right on the eve of being birthed into a confidence by the love your mama gives you, and that's taken away. And it's like you get stuck in the womb, you cannot be born. That's why I don't talk about people that use drugs and alcohol and go through that struggle. You don't know their story. You don't know the pain that they've not been able to process through. You don't know. They've not been able to find a mate. They have not been able to avatar. Y'all see the movie Avatar? They get to mirroring the tribe, the Zulu tribe. When they engage, humanity is so dignified in that movie. When they engage you, they say, "I see you. I see you." And they look for how they're supposed to help you. I'm here to help you. And then they take their little tail, their little Fangeli look, those hair-like projections, and they unify them so they can connect to the inner part of you. We live in such a superficial society. Nobody's interested in connecting to the real you, the place where you hurt, the place where you lost part of yourself, the areas that you struggle through. Meghan Markle, Princess Meghan, is a gift to the entire world. She is a love born in America, but she is a love for America, England, Africa, the entire world. In her young age, she has touched at least 3 continents, caring for the poor, and I'm talking about the dirt poor. She did not allow their suffering to separate her from seeking to go there and comfort them. She's some kind of woman to the world. And so when she met Harry, she didn't touch him at the place where he was the royal prince of England. She was anointed, mature, gifted to go to the little boy in him that was still crying, still hurting, still depressed, still oppressed, that was not able to be born. She said, "You will be born of the love that I am." And that's why there's a different Harry that came in that chapel like a warrior king. "I will defend, love, and protect, honor, adhere to this woman of God that God has brought in my life, and I shall be gentle." And she said, "I will love this man from his brokenness, and I shall be gentle." It was her gentleness that captured the heart of a young man. He could have had Rihanna. He could have had all these big names in the arts. But he knew that he could have had anyone in the world. He had been with hundreds of women, but they all wanted to attach to the king, to the prince, rather. Nobody wanted to attach to where, to the little boy where he was broken. And so here comes the princess into this chapel. Now, this is what's crazy. This is what's amazing. She's not the first mulatto princess. She's not the first mulatto to carry a royal title in the kingdom. Did y'all know Princess Charlotte of the 1600s, for whom William's daughter is named, the next king of England? His oldest daughter, Charlotte, is named after the first mulatto queen. Queen Charlotte was mulatto, yes. Queen Charlotte is the one that Charlotte, North Carolina is named after. Yes, Charlotte, North Carolina is named after a mulatto queen of England, Queen Charlotte. Y'all look it up. This was crazy. Harry and Meghan were supposed to get married in April. Y'all remember when they announced that they talked about an April wedding? But then they got to study history, and so they said they was going to have a queen, a marriage in the same chapel that Queen Charlotte got married in. Yes, they got married in the same chapel she got married in. On the same day she got married, May the 19th, was her wedding day, and they married on that same day. Meghan said, I want this wedding to reflect who I am. What woman in the world has ever walked her own self down the altar? There might be some. But she made an international statement that no matter who oppresses you, who puts you down, no matter who says you're not good enough, when you're going to marry the prince, you lift yourself all the way up and respect yourself. Believe that you are his princess. And show the world that nobody and nothing, no ill will, no spoken harsh word, no curse, no damning, no set up, no setback, was able to keep you down. No identity that attaches to a father that said, if I don't have a daddy, I won't be a princess. I won't carry myself as sacred and honorable. None of this sexing over here, sexing over there. I don't know her life. But sexing all around everywhere is what the world wants these young women to do. Sex trafficking, stripping them of their dignity. A culture that's run rapid with exploitation of women. The finesse of God, the gift of God that God put in the earth to birth humanity. When I got married to Miles, I married the prince of the Ijo tribe of West Africa in the Delta region of Nigeria. I went through 8 weeks of wifery training to marry him. I was blown away. Before he could marry me, even though he was the prince, with 4 college degrees, he had to espouse me to a family to protect me from him. Ijo people have less than 2% divorce because you have a family that mediates discord between you and your spouse. Something go wrong, you have a tribe, you have a family. And if they are not able to handle that discourse, if the husband in that family goes to the tribal elders and brings a council to your house. And it was crazy because I got direct instructions on how to love him, to engage him, to commune with him. Meghan Markle was given months to do that also. And she stood before the world and said, I will honor myself. And I want to show the world that I've overcome so much to keep this honor. I've overcome the fragmentation of my parents' divorce. I've overcome the ridicule of my half-siblings. I've overcome the negativity of everyone that wanted me to feel less than because of my African inheritance. And we're all African. And I will walk in respect and honor of the deity of my life because I was created by God. And you know, the world changed their attitude about Prince Charles at this wedding. The world saw him as unassuming and unengaging in the monarchy, going through the events of the day like a que sera, sera, not really making an international statement of peace or war. But on this wedding day, when he walked up to greet Princess, soon to be princess at that time, Meghan Markle, he became a champion among men and angels. Because when you're out there and you constantly have to deal with the grind, somebody putting you down and putting you back and pushing you out, day in and day out. And you have to hold on to your dignity and hold on to the honor of your name and hold on to the quest of your righteousness and hold on to you when you are alone. And somebody meets you. Somebody walks to meet you, to embrace you, to elevate you, to esteem you, to love you, to honor you, to accept you as you are before the world. And they could have sent anybody to be an escort to her mother. Anybody could have been an escort. Oh, did y'all see all them soldiers? All them soldiers, all those majors, all those commanders in chief, he could have sent anybody to meet, greet, escort her mother. But he said, I will receive Meghan and escort her to my son. And then I will receive her mother and escort her and be her attendant throughout this whole ceremony, these activities. I will avail myself to attend to her. That's the mark of a king. He may never be crowned as king of England, but I crowned him at that wedding because his statement, the disposition that he took to validate his new daughter-in-law and to validate her mother who came to the wedding with her dreads on, her dreads in. And Marilyn and Meghan Markle said, I will not defy who I am, my African inheritance that was given to me by the Most High God. I'm not having no covenant without the blessing and the word of God preached over my covenant, my relationship. I will not engage and encounter him without the song of love sung. Because with a song can deliver you. I will show forth and esteem my own self, my own people, like Esther did at her wedding. She esteemed Prince Queen Esther in the Bible when they were going to kill her people. Genocide. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. Genocide was going on way back there. And they were trying to trick the king to decree an order to kill all the Jewish people. And it was the beauty of a queen, the poise of a queen, the gentleness of a queen that caught the heart of a king. And that's what she said. She said, if I perish, let me perish. But I've got to go see the king about, and I've got to hold on to my dignity, and I've got to persuade him to save an entire race of people. Things may not have been as extreme and blaring as they were in Esther's time, but in another way, they are just as extreme and blaring at a time when black men are shot down in the streets throughout America. And police officers are caught on body cams saying, we don't kill white people, we kill black people. Well, there's such hatred. Where do we get all this hatred from? Black and white, red and brown. We were all God's children. She said, I'm not going to marry this prince is marrying me, my ethnicity. The best of my ethnicity, I'm bringing in my God to his God. The same God he has, I have. The same God made him, made me. This is going to be a wedding that validates our dignity, the sanctity of the human life. Bishop Curry tore it up. You see how many priests they had in that wedding? I know they had at least five. But they brought the spoken word from the African man, the Episcopal priest. And he laid out his exegete around one central theme, the keeping of love. A love that can love you, not just where on the mountaintop, but it can go to the pit of your hurting and transform you and lift you and empower you so that you can lift, transform, and empower somebody else. So they can lift, transform, and empower someone else. And it becomes a whole culture of lifting. Love makes the world go round. And he admonished them through the words of Dr. Martin Luther King. If you haven't read the book Strength of Love by Dr. Martin Luther King, you got to read that book. Some of the quotes that he used throughout his sermon, his exhortation, his guidance, his admonishment to them, is that they would nurture love. They would love one another. They would cycle love. Instead of opening up your mouth to castrate one another and put each other down, you would open up your mouth to encourage one another, to lift one another, to affirm one another. That's what love does. And Dr. Martin Luther King wrote in this book. He wrote the book from a jail cell in Alabama. He had been put in jail. They had lied on him and said all these untruths about him. And instead of just twiddling his thumb there, he said, I might as well take this time to pen a book. And he penned this book called The Strength to Love. And he was telling God, this book is really about a dialogue that he had with God. He's asking God, how do I journey on with you? They bombed my house.
My children are afraid of me. My wife is ripped and riddled. She's holding on to me with her love for me. And he's like, how? I need to quit, God, for the sake of my family. I need to quit because I'm full of fear myself. How do I keep hearing the screams of the janitors and the trash men that are being oppressed in Memphis? How, God, do I keep hearing the screams of men being lynched down in southern Alabama, God? How do I'm pulled between, do I continue on? For civil rights, God, for equal rights. Or do I retreat and take my family and run somewhere and silence my voice in there? How do I get the strength to love? And so it was so poignant that this bishop would choose the man who was one of the sacrificial offerings of love, a man who loved humanity such that he was willing to give his life to allow his message to be heard. The bishop tore up the wedding. I mean, he worked love in a way that brought it from yesterday all the way to the future. He GPS loved. He showed them a love that would keep them, that would keep their covenant, that would keep them strong, that would give them hope for their journey together forward. I admonish all of you listening in tonight. That if you will to serve, to admonish people to have healthier environments, reduce their exposure to chemicals and radiation, mitigate their houses, know their numbers, get your head off the wall, is not motivated by a love to see people have a better life, you will not withstand under the weight of the journey. It takes love to strengthen us. It takes God to strengthen us to love. People say to me all the time, you're sacrificing too much, you're doing too much, you're going here, you're going there. What is motivating you? I said, if you could see what I've seen, if you could experience the joy that I've experienced, I get to see God. I get to help God do some incredible things in the earth. I offered my hands, my knowledge, my skill, my heart. And as a result, I've seen almost 30 people become seizure-free or seizure-reduced. I've seen a young woman, somebody told her she was dumb. She'd been on Social Security since she was born. Somebody said, just get your check and sit over in the corner. And she said, I want a life. But she was seizing. When she would seize, she would pass out, and then she would be kind of discombobulated. She couldn't get it together for hours. People were taking advantage of her. She was being raped by her own father, stepfather. Crazy stuff happened to her. I met her. We raised the money to do her house. And I got to see a miracle happen in 3 years. A young woman that had no confidence in herself go through some vocational skills and development, pass a battery of tests. She got a job starting at almost $15 an hour. You're talking about dignity. It took her self-confidence and dignity, sent herself through the roof. got her around circle of people that would nurture her, protect her, help her to move, to matriculate toward independent living. It's been miraculous. She had the audacity to come up on her one-year anniversary in excellence and then moving her to a supervisory position. She's going to be making almost $20 an hour. Seizure-free. Got a chance to see a little girl, over 600 seizures a day. Couldn't do math, not even add a quarter and a nickel and get 30 cents. Every time she had her menstrual cycle, she ended up in the hospital. Today, she's a college student. She still has seizures, but they're nowhere near where they used to be. They're not every day, 600 seizures a day. She might have two or three a month. I got to see a miracle of a child with a disease I never heard before. Lou Borg's disease, the only one in America. Perpetual seizures, over 1,000 a day. They sent her home to die. It was love that motivated me, love that moved me. They said, can you come? They didn't say, we have $1,000 for you to come. We have two. They said, can you come? I said, I'm coming through from Atlanta to Durham. I'll stop. We raised the money with the alumni and faculty, staff from North Carolina Central University. We stuck the solar technology on the window and created just an energy wave. She was already in. At end stage, she was already spasming and having irregular breathing, what you do at the end of life. She was already there. And I got to see God work a miracle from solar windows. I got to see God stop the electrostatic in her bedroom. And her body didn't have to fight it anymore. And it was able to do what God made it to do. Rebalance. And stabilize her life. Instead of death, she woke up. She woke up from a semi-comatose state about 6 hours later. Talking. She had been nonverbal for weeks. Asking for things that she liked. Could you imagine this? Even wanted to know where her tablet was at so that she could engage and do some activities. If I wasn't motivated by love, I wouldn't be able to see a cow that was getting ready to die, a cow that had black mastitis. They couldn't heal the cow for 18 months. In fact, most of the cattle, a great percentage of the cattle on this farm, were sick, and the farmer already got the letter, we closing your farm in 90 days. He said, what will this technology do for cows? I said, sir, I have no idea. These are just electrical safety devices. He said, lady, I'm getting ready to lose everything. I'm getting ready to lose a family farm that's been in the family more than 40 years. He said, I'll let this cow die to see if this technology will save the other cows at my farm. Put that technology on that cow's left leg. The nanos. 7 days the cow healed. Within 3 weeks, all the cattle were healed. The farmer got his farm saved. He was throwing away over 400 pounds of milk a day that was contaminated from mastitis and infection. I've seen some miracles, ladies and gentlemen. I've seen some miracles. And that's the reason why I'm going to leave you on this note. I know you may have tuned in to hear about Healthy Smart Homes and all the miracles that are happening. I just want to invite you to go to YouTube and look up the first TED Talk we've ever done at the University
of North Carolina Central University. You can see the new solar nanocells demonstrated and how awesome they are to mitigate indoor toxins. I want you to go, while you're there, I want you, after you look at my TED Talk, flip over and look at this wedding of Prince Harry and Princess Meghan. And may the God who allowed them to find each other and love each other from the point of need, may the God who empowered them to forgive each other and have the courage to hold on in a storm when the winds are trying to rip you apart and pull you asunder. May the God who sustained them with fire, the God that answers by fire, who answered their prayer in the jungles of Africa when they were trying to figure out, should we make our life together? Shall we build our hope together? May the God who created you for his goodness and his mercy may he empower you and may you have an entire year of favor of the Lord Jesus Christ and a day of vengeance of our God. That's in Isaiah 61, verse 2. That's my prayer for Prince Harry and Princess Meghan. May their life operate, may they live under an open heaven. And the favor of the Lord Jesus Christ be theirs for every year until the end of time, until their life ends. May their seed be blessed. And may God war and destroy every enemy that would lift its neck, its arm, anything to destroy and bring their covenant asunder. I encourage everyone listening in tonight to be bold and pray this same prayer over your life, the life of your family, the life of your neighbor, your grandchildren. The greatest environmental mitigation we have is to get hatred out of our heart, out of our communities, out of our family. And the God of war, he's an enemy of hatred. He is love and the keeper of love. May he empower you to love and be gentle in your loving. All this being brash and harsh and cussing and damning. Shut all that stuff up right now. Even your enemies. Somebody called me up and said, oh, Doc, I heard so-and-so did such-and-such, and they're saying such-and-such about you. I said, really? I said, these people have given me the greatest opportunity I've had to forgive. Because I tell people at the end of the day, I'm guilty. I pleaded guilty. I pleaded guilty to being, to loving my neighbor as myself. I pleaded guilty to hearing about children who couldn't stop seizing. And instead of going home to my house, I got off on the exit and went to their house to see about them. I didn't charge them a dime to push that doorbell. I'm guilty of loving America enough to look at the reports coming out of the Epilepsy Foundation saying, hey, we're losing our capacity for neuropsychological dynamics. Everybody is getting seizures. Everybody is getting seizures. Hear me. Everybody is getting seizures. The Epilepsy Foundation has reported we were once one in maybe 30,000. Ladies and gentlemen, on May the 22nd, 2018, this same foundation is reporting that we are 1 in 26. Is it reasonable to assume that if we were 1 in thousands just 10 decades ago or 2 decades ago, and we're 1 in 26 on today in 2018, is it reasonable to assume that in just 5 years from now, every other person will be having a seizure in America? If we don't love and care, somebody got to stand up someplace and say, the radiation is too high. We have got to lower it and do something about it to protect it in our electronics. Somebody got to do that. You have the humility like Dr. Martin Luther King to say, Lord, strengthen me to love. So that I can continue to tell people, get your head off the walls, unplug unnecessary electronics in your bedroom, sleep with your head at the foot of the bed. Pull your baby crib away from electric sockets. Keep those monitoring, baby monitoring devices 20 feet away. We got work to do, ladies and gentlemen. But the vision of love of Harry, Prince Harry and Princess Meghan is a breath of fresh air. It's hope for the journey. We can get this done. One home at a time, one family at a time. We got to get it done. The National Institute of Health is now saying a high sustained exposure to electromagnetic frequency is probable cause for diabetes, Alzheimer's, dementia, Lou Gehrig's disease, or ALS, heart disease, blood disorders. Our body cannot take the slam. And so I'm going to leave you with just this word of encouragement. You were born to solve a problem. You were born to make a difference in the earth. I'm excited because so much is happening. I can't wait to tell you. My hope has always been to be able to give this technology away to retrofit houses in communities of great need. We have great need in Washington, D.C. It carries one of the highest incidence of women dying from breast cancer stage 3 and 4. We have great need in many states, many cities in Ohio, Arkansas, New Jersey, where the incidence of autism is between 1 in 3 and 1 in 10. The rate of autistic children in Arkansas alone has increased 33,000%. May the Lord God have mercy upon us and give us the courage to love. There are great needs in our community. May we love like Princess Meghan. May we be empowered with a capacity to love people at the point of need. I tell my sons, if you want to marry a great lover, marry someone who suffered through something, kept their dignity, and elevated themselves through it. You will find one of the greatest lovers in the world that can go with you through thick and thin. And that's why I'm excited about this covenant. And even though I wasn't sitting in the chapel, when the bishop said, do you pledge to help this couple stay strong in love? I was thousands of miles away, still in my pajamas, sitting in front of the TV, drinking my cup of coffee. But my heart stood up. My hope stood up. The love in me was strengthened, and I said with the rest of them, I will do what I can do to help the covenant, this union, stay strong.
And that's why I bless them. But the highest blessing, the highest vibration you can declare in the earth, a year of favor of the Lord God and a day of war, that their love remains strong. And I pray that same prayer for you, for all of you listening under the sound of my voice tonight. I pray an entire year of favor of the Lord Jesus Christ and a day of war of our God, that your love may be transformed by gentleness and that you may be restored every place of devastation, every ancient ruin, every city in ruin, every place in your life that's full of shame and disgrace. I'm asking God to fortify you double in that area of assault and weakness and give you double recompense for what you suffered through, so that at the end of day, you have a full inheritance and everlasting joy. May the joy of the heavens be the strength that guides you as we continue to knock on doors and tell people, know your numbers, get your house checked. Is your house making you sick? Find out. Do something about it. I know I've gone a little long tonight because my heart was filled with so much. If there's anybody on the show that has something burning they want to share about their healthy smart home or their fabulous biobalancer, you know, just push one so you can talk. If not, I bless everyone. May you have sweet dreams and a good night. Thank you.
I don't know what's waiting on me in the future. I just don't know. I don't know what I'll be doing 10 years from now. I just don't know. But I believe that teaching God's holy word. Oh, it's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Yeah.
To serve the Lord.
It's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Yes, it is.
To serve the Lord.
I'll be serving the Lord. Though sometimes my road gets dark and dreary, I can't hardly find my way. Sometimes my burdens get so heavy that I can't stop having sleepless nights and lonely days. But I believe if I keep holding on, God is gonna comfort me and keep me strong. 'Cause it's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Yes, it is. It's way down on the inside.
In my
heart. Oh, no.
God
planted his love.
It's in my heart.
Yes, it is. He put it down in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Come on, baby.
Listen.
Now, I've been singing for a long, long time. I'm not gonna give up. Said I gotta make of mine, yeah. I've been lied on, mistreated by my so-called friends, but if I had another chance, I'd do it all again. It's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Oh yeah.
It's in my heart.
Got it down in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Oh yeah.
It's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Yes, it is.
Ooh,
down in my heart.
In my heart.
Yes, it is. Wait a minute.